Morning, everyone. Today's daf is Lamed Hey. We're back on Lamed Dalet, Amud Aleph. We're starting the new Mishnah today. I'd start Mosen Bebechor. Okay, so you make a little incision in the ear of the animal. And you kind of understand why you'd want to do that. As we've discussed now for the fifth parak of Bechoros, that you're not allowed to eat an animal until it develops a blemish. And when I say you, I don't mean you really. I mean really the Kohen. Kohen is right now currently in the possession of a Bechor. It was given to him by Yisroel. And now he's just got to sit and wait. You're going to learn later on a Mishnah that tells a story where the animal was so old, not this one we're talking about right now, but there was an animal that was so old, the hair kind of just grew to the point where it looked like this big walking mop. So more or less that's what we're going to be describing later on this morning. And what comes out from that clearly is that you just got to sit and let it wait until it develops a blemish. And as we've discussed now time and again, the blemish has to come naturally, has to come organically. And you can't put a blemish on the animal. And you had enough, and you said, okay, I'm going to put a blemish on the animal. So, Hatsarim Ozen Bebechor. Now, Rashi, good. It's a good question. And Rashi has a very clear answer. Rashi says we're talking about the Kohen, right? If Rashi says, it's one Rashi in the Mishnah, but Kohen Kamairi, we're dealing with the Kohen. What if it wasn't the Kohen? What if it was the original owner of the animal, the Yisrael son? From Rashi, it's not clear. Meaning from Rashi, Rashi frames the whole discussion that we're going to have over the course of this sugya to where the Kohen does it. Okay, but at least I understand, though. I certainly understand the perspective of Rashi, meaning the Kohen is going to be much more motivated, right? The Yisrael, what does he care? It doesn't make a difference to him. Yeah, in other words, he's going to give it away anyway. So, you know, it's not... The motivation to want to put a blemish in it is not going to be as strong by the Yisrael as it's going to be by the Kohen. And perhaps one could suggest that the Knas that we're about to learn doesn't apply to Yisrael, perhaps. But I don't know. But anyway, so you put a blemish on the animal. So that was a no-no. And then you went to a chacham and you said, okay, here's my animal. So the chacham asks a very simple question. Well, how did the blemish get there? So the Kohen was very honest and forthright and he says, I put the blemish there. Okay, it's not good. Correct. Now, how not good is that going to be? So the Mishnah now presents a machlokas. Rav Elazar, sorry. Ein ze lo, hari ze lo yishkot olamis. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Eliezer says, never. You'll never be able to shech that animal again. Even if, according to Rabbi Eliezer, even if it develops another blemish, and even if that second blemish develops organically, it does not matter. You violated the isser of putting a blemish on an animal, and so therefore the kanas, the penalty that's imposed is never again. You're never going to enjoy this animal again. Okay, that's a very serious kanas that's been imposed by the rabbis, but I guess Rabbi Eliezer feels that'll teach him. Like, in other words, this won't happen again.
What happened to the animal?
I guess the animal's going to be left to die. Now, give it to another Kohen. Well, the Gemara is going to discuss, it's a great, good discussion coming up at the end of the sugya, what if he dies? I mean, what if the Kohen dies, and now it's passed over to Yusha, now to his child? Okay, so not exactly your question, but a similar question. Right? Is this Kenas going to stick with the animal? Okay, stay tuned. We'll discuss that later on. The Chachamim also penalized, but it's going to be easier, which is the following. You got to wait. In other words, you just simply have to wait until it develops another blemish naturally, and then and only then can you shecht on it. Now, the fact that this is a kanas, you understand, it sounds like from the Mishnah, according to the Chachamim, that really in truth, it'll work. Meaning, if the rabbis didn't penalize, what would we have said? You shouldn't have put the blemish on the animal, but now that you did, and now that's a blemished animal, so now you can eat it. Meaning you didn't do right, you violated the isra of putting a blemish on the animal, but still, now that it's there, you can enjoy it. Yeah, and the only reason why I'm cornered into this position is because it sounds like from the Mishnah, according to the Chachamim, there's also a kanas, there's also some form of penalty. So it must be the penalty is you're going to have to wait until the next blemish comes, and of course that next blemish has to come on its own. You can't cause the next blemish.
So it'll be the same parallel here.
Correct. So over there, no. When if you're mevatel islechatchila, so then it's no. Then you can't enjoy it.
That's what he's doing here.
It's not bittel. It's not.
Same, but he's doing. So I would equate it.
I understand. I understand. It's not a bad. It's not a bad comparison, but it's not exactly the same. Right. Well, the Gemara is going to make that. The Gemara is going to make that comparison. Umi kanis Rabbi Lazar la olam v'rimino. So the Gemara says, look, I don't understand because Rabbi Lazar is inconsistent in the way that he levels a penalty based on his opinion elsewhere. Misha Haisa la Beharis, the person has saras. Okay. Now. Nobody that I know has properly diagnosed saras simply because we don't know. We don't know what saras looks like. We have an idea. We have some sort of, we have a mesecta of Mishnayos that talk and describe about saras. And we know that it's some sort of white mark on the skin, discoloration of the hair. But, okay, no one actually experienced it over here. We have our own skin ailments. So, but nevertheless, though, the Mishnah describes the following. You get a tzaras mark on your skin. And now you know what the protocol is. You have to go to a kohen. He has to look at it. Sometimes you get quarantined for a week. Sometimes you get quarantined for 2 weeks. Sometimes then the kohen is going to tell you, you know what, it's negative tzaras. That's it. You're done. And then you're going to have to wait until it goes away. And only after then it goes away are you then going to be able to rejoin the Jewish people. In other words, it's going to you know you're in for a long haul. So you say to yourself, and I know this is not going to sound pretty, but you cut it off, okay? Right, and you're not allowed to, right? It's an instant the Torah of cutting off tzaras off your body. One dispensation that the Gemara talks about at length, which is what if the tzaras is on the makamila? What if it's on the foreskin? So then you get the age old question of an asay versus a los asay. But in general, though, without that specific scenario, you're not allowed to cut it off. Period. And what if you do? So, Mishnah in Negaim. So the Mishnah in Negaim writes the following. Mishnah Haithala Baharas. V'nik Tzatza. And what if it's cut off by accident? You had no intent to cut it off whatsoever. Meaning maybe you had an accident. But in other words, without any Kavana Tahor. So, Tzaras is gone. You're fine. However, Katzatza Miskavein. What if you cut it off with Kavana? I'm cutting off the tzaras because I do not want the tzaras on my body. So Rabbi Lazar Omer lechishiyah lo nega acher yitaher mimenu. So the Rabbi Lazar says, you're going to have to wait. Wait until you get a new tzaras, and then and only then are you tar from the first tzaras. Meaning, you will be in a state of tumas tzaras until you get a new blemish. The Gemara later on will fine-tune the statement of Rabbi Lazar. Okay, but before we fine tune, just right now you understand, basically you're in for a long haul until you get a new nega. And then let me just read the Chachamim, the Chachamim Omrim, Achitifrach Bakulo, Achitis Mai Barto, Mechagris. The Chachamim said, you know when you're going to be Tahor? One of two things have to happen. Either, number one, Tifrach Bakulo, you have to have Tsaras over your entire body. An anomaly, an oddity in the world of Tsaras is the following. You have tzaras in one spot, you're a mitzora. You have tzaras in a couple spots, you're a mitzora. You have tzaras over your entire body, you're tahor. Okay, it's an anomaly. You want to try to explain this logically, good luck. But okay, that's a halacha within tzaras. So the chachamim say that you're going to have to get tzaras over your entire body, because then and only then do you have the assurance that even if this tzaras spot, the eye cut off, even had it been on my body, it would have just been subsumed under the other tzaras that's on my body. And now that my whole body is covered with tzaras, so now I know for sure that I'd be tahor. That's one thing for happen. I can't imagine that you're excited now about that about that news and information. Oshitis my behar to mechagris, or you have to wait until the beharis gets smaller than a size of a gris. Now, that's of course difficult to understand. That line of the Mishnah is really difficult to understand because, right, didn't you cut it off? And now you're waiting for it to get smaller than the size of either a penny or a dime, whatever the size of a gris is. But if it's cut off your body, so what exactly are you waiting for? So Rashi's sensitive to this. Rashi realizes that that's difficult to understand. The Rashi says, Kodim shekatitsa, meaning all this only would be helpful if that's true before you cut it off, says Rashi. Aval ibisha shekatsa hava beishir nega in lo tahor lamis dekansin leila olam. But, says Rashi, right, which is basically the pshat in the Mishnah, Meaning, had it been the size of a grist, when you cut it off, and now you cut it off, you're done forever. You're a mitzora forever. Okay. We'll get to stay tuned. We're going to get to that in just a second. In just a second, we're going to get to that. Yeah. What, in the second case? What, in the Tzaras case? Or in our Mishnah? Yeah, I understand. He's got to wait. He's got to wait till a new blemish arrives on the animal. Because without the kanas, you would have said, right, that the animal now has a blemish on it. Granted that I put the blemish on it, okay, but now my action was wrong. But look at the consequence. The consequence now is the animal has a blemish. So without a kanas, you would say, okay, eat it now, right, shecht it now. But now the kanas is, you got to wait. No, but it's as if the kanas basically is, it's as if you did nothing. That's what basically the kanas is telling you. The kanas is, even though you put a blemish on, we're going to ignore it because you put the, yeah, okay. Now, you realize the problem is very clear. And we have role confusion, right? The Mishnah Bechoros and the Mishnah Nagayim are giving us both in describing a kanas. One's talking about a Bechor and the other one's talking about Tzaras. But for Tzaras, Rebbe Elazar becomes a Chacham, and the Chachamim become Rebbe Elazar. Right? There's total role confusion. In our Mishnah Bechoros, you put a blemish on the animal, Rebbe Elazar says the animal's done forever. Forever. Which is really what the Chachamim are saying by Tzaras. By if you have Tzaras and you cut it off your body, you will now be a Mitzora forever. Basically. Okay, so the Chachamim experienced role confusion. And so did Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer in our Mishnah says that you put a blemish on the Bechor and it becomes prohibited forever. What does Rabbi Eliezer say by Tzaras? No, you're not going to be a Mitzvah forever. Wait till you get your next Tzaras. Okay, so it could be forever, but not necessarily. Okay, so we are experiencing role confusion over here and the Gemara tries to explain. Now it's funny. When this sort of thing happens, sometimes the Gemara goes through Muchlefes Hashita, meaning that you have to flip around one of these Mishnayos so that Mishnayos coordinate. And I guess I have a theory that the Gemara only says Muchlefes Hashita only when there's some sort of Misora. That's in fact true. Over here, the Gemara does not give that approach. Let's see the approaches the Gemara will give. We are four lines down. We're on Lamed Dal Lamed Beis. Four lines down from the top of the page. So, Rabbi Rav Yosef Darmi Tavai Ki Kanes Rabbi Lazar Ben Mamona Mebegufa Lo Kanes. So we start off with the first approach, which is as follows. Look, let's focus on Rabbi Eliezer for just a moment. Rabbi Eliezer, in the case of Bechoros, what's the kanas going on? Kanas is not going on you. Kanas is going on your money. Meaning, you thought you were going to enjoy that Bechor. You're a Kohen. You put a blemish on that Bechor, you thought you were going to enjoy it. So the Chachamim say to you, no, you're not enjoying that Bechor. You put a blemish on that Bechor, that's it, you're done. But the Kanas is not so much on you, even though it's going to affect you, but it's on your money. So, but in the case of Tzaras, what are we penalizing? You. In other words, you had a spot on your body, nega Tzaras on your body, and you cut it off. If the rabbis were to impose a penalty, that penalty is not on your money, that's on you.
Yeah, you couldn't walk into the temple.
You're right. There's a lot of things that you're going to be prevented from now because you're a mitzora. So for that, even though there's still going to be a kenas, but the kenas is not going to be as harsh because it's going on you. Mamoni ikalameh madas lamabe, gufami ikalameh madas lamabe. Because in the case of money, right, it's very tempting. Look how tempting it is. You have a Bechor, you're a Kohen, you have a Bechor. Right now, you can't eat the animal. You simply have nothing to lose. I mean, what's the downside of not putting a blemish on? This animal is prohibited to me. It remains prohibited to me. So anyway, I got nothing to lose right now. So you know what? No one's looking. I'll put a blemish on the animal. In other words, the temptation is so great that the Chachamim basically have to come along and say to you, buddy, that's it. You can't have that animal forever. The Chachamim need to be harsher in their penalty. But begufo, but on your body, look, the tzaras is going to go away. You know the tzaras is going to go away. It's going to take some time. Granted, I understand the temptation to cut it off, but it's going to go away anyway. So there, the Chachamim didn't feel the need to be that harsh in their penalty. Okay. Amar Rava. So Rava says, good response, but you only solved half our problem. Because there was total role confusion. Meaning that you've only settled the Rabbi Eliezer stira between the Mishnah Bechoros and the Mishnah in Negayim. So Rava, the Rav Lazar Kasha, the Rabbanon, the Rabban Lo Kasha, Ella. The Rav Lazar Lo Kasha, Kiddishaninan. So we're going to stick with your answer for Rabbi Eliezer. That's a very good answer. Okay, but let's move on. Rabbanan, the Rabbanan, Amelo Kasha, Hacha b'may da'avid kantsua, Hacha b'may da'avid kantsua. As far as the Chachamim are concerned, I can also explain this as well. Look, when the rabbis make a kanas, their kanas is specific to the action. A kanas really is responsive to that which was done. B'may ichav and lemishre b'haymuma, b'haymuma, kantsua Rabbanan. Look, you put a blemish on the animal. Your action was to permit the animal with what? What was your vehicle? The blemish. So the Chachamim's Knas is going to go on that blemish. Meaning the Chachamim are basically saying, you try to make a blemish on the animal, our Knas is, that's not a blemish. It's not a blemish. You tried it, it's not a blemish. But that's it though. In other words, as far as the animal is concerned, the animal's fine. Let the animal develop another blemish, that'll be a blemish. But the kanas is going to be specific to your action. The kanas is, you made a blemish, that's not a blemish. Now, b'haymuma, kansua rabbanan. De b'haymuma lo lishtarilei, v'hacha b'may da'avid kansua, ichavin l'tuhuri nafshei. Now, when you cut off saras off your body, what was your intent? Your intent was to be mitar yourself. So the Chachamim said, you know what? On that we're gonna penalize. That's the penalty. The penalty is you're going to try to be matar yourself, you're not tahor. And you'll never be tahor. Okay, now obviously, it's severe, but they're responding to the action. The kanas de rabbanan, the rabbinic penalty, is just a response to what you try to do. In the case of Bechor, you try to put a blemish on. Meaning, it's not. That's all it is. In other words, it's your attempt to make a blemish. So the Chachamim said, okay, it's not a blemish. In the case of Saras, you attempted to make yourself Tahor, so the Chachamim said, you're not Tahor. And you'll never be Tahor. Okay. Good. Right, we're not, again, don't confuse the two cases, meaning in the case of Bechor, you're putting a blemish on the animal. You want that blemish to be there. In the case of Saras, you want to remove it. Okay. By Rav Papa. Now, we quote this Mishnah in Negayim, and truth be told is that we only quoted it because it seems to contradict our Mishnah, and the Gemara gave us approach how to understand Rabbi Elazar and how to understand the Chachamim, but as long as we're learning this Mishnah in Negayim, so now the Gemara is going to ask, basically, Phil's question. What did Rabbi Eliezer say? Rabbi Eliezer says that when you develop a new blemish, new tzara'as, then you'll be tar from the first one. Right? That sounds a little strange, doesn't it? Meaning it should sound a little bit strange. Let's go over the timeline. Right? I have tzara'as on my body. I look at it. I say, you know what? It's not small. I can cut it off. And I cut it off. So Rabbi Eliezer says, oh, you didn't do good. So you know what? You're going to be tame. You're going to have too much saras until the next time you get a blemish. Now, what exactly does that mean? So now, that means when I see now a new saras spot on my body, I am then relieved of the tumma of the old saras. Now, you'll say to me, that's strange.
Does it have to be in the same spot?
It doesn't seem to be, no. But I'll tell you why it's strange. Because your tummy now. Your tummy from the new spot that you have. So in other words, it is a little bit strange. Or, how about if I say this in Rabbi Eliezer, it will sound like a better pshat, it will sound a little smoother. How about that look? I start off with one spot, I cut it off. And now what Rabbi Eliezer says is, wait till you get a new spot. Wait till you become taller from that new spot. And that tahara from the new spot also will be matar you from the old spot as well. That sounds a little bit better, right? Okay. In fact, it sounds so much better. You're like looking at me like, what was that first shot that you offered? Until the healing of the second spot. Correct. So it sounds like that second shot sounds a little bit better. By Rav Papa basically says, I'm not sure which way is correct of the two that I just said. By Rav Papa, yitaher tanan, or vi yitaher tanan. The way Rav Papa says it, it basically depends on how to properly read the Mishnah. If you look back at the Mishnah Negayim, the Mishnah Negayim says, Rabbi Elazar Omer lechashola negar acher, yitaher. If you don't have the vav, it sounds like that the developing of the new blemish is a trigger of tahara for the old blemish. That's what it sounds like. Or do I add a vav in the Mishnah? And if I add a vav in the Mishnah, it sounds a little bit better. Vi yitaher, and you will become tahor from that new blemish. Then and only then are you going to become tahor from the old blemish as well. So lamai nafkamina. So the Gemara says, now, practically speaking, aside from the fact that the second approach just is a little more logical, if we can add logic to the discussion of Negayim, right? I'm not sure if that ever really is going to work, but it sounds a little bit more logical. But aside from that, there'd also be a practical difference as well. Notably, watch. L'chasson sh'nirabo nega, ditnan. Mishnah in Negayim, our second Mishnah in Negayim of the day. Chasson sh'nirabo nega. Let's say you have a chasson, and on the morning of his chasna, okay, he has saras. Yeah, not the best thing to wake up with in the morning. It's worse than a pimple. Okay, much worse. So now he has saras. Now, you know that a mitzorah cannot be with his wife. Okay. Now, but you also know that you're not a mitzorah until deemed so by a kohen. Meaning it's, right, it's like, it's much, saras is a halachic definition, and part of the halachic definition is that you need a kohen to see it. Right, remember when the saras hits the house, what do we say? Before the kohen comes and takes a look at it, clear out everything from the house, then have the kohen look at it, and when the kohen determines that it's a negat saras, so then the house now becomes mitzorah. What about everything that was in the house beforehand? You removed it. And it's not going to be saras until the kohen says so. So there is a way to delay the event of saras, and that's simply by not having a kohen look at it. And here you have a chasan, and you can understand how he would not want to show this to a chacham, being that he's about to get married. So what do you do? So the Mishnah says, "Shinir v'nega nosan lozayn yamim v'lo ula atztilaso ula ksuso." V'chein b'regel nosan lo koyim e'regel. Okay, so what you do is that you give him 7 days. Meaning, don't show it to a kohen. Right, exactly. Come see me, cover the kohen system, you'll see me a week from now. And then we'll talk. But up until that point in time, whatever, just let's ignore it for now. And you have that ability to do that. And by the way, the Mishnah says the same thing by Yontif as well. You know, the 7 days of Sheva Brachos really is a mini Yontif. It's like a personal Yontif. Right? We have many sources that indicate that. Here's a very good one as well, where the Mishnah in Negayim basically put the two side by side. Right. Okay, good. So in other words, come see me in a week. Now. Yeah. So now, Iyamar Yitaher Tana. Now, let's go to our bizarro case. Okay? You had Sarasi cut it off. Now, as a rabbinic penalty now, you're tummy. Even though you don't have Saras on your body. But because you had Saras and because you cut it off, now you're going to be tummy. Now, according to Rabbi Eliezer, how long are you going to be tummy for? Until you develop the next one. But let's be even more specific in our question. When exactly are you going to be relieved from the first Saras? So is it with the event of the second Saras coming on? Or is it only with the Tahara of the second Saras that came on? So, Iyamar Yitahir Tanah Mikamaisi Tahir Lei Lebas Raisa Natrin Lei Zayn Yemei Mishteh. Wonderful. If it's the event of the new Saras coming, which is going to relieve you of your old saras, that'll be the trigger, the release of the old saras. So now, believe it or not, you're good now. Because, look, you know, in your younger years, you weren't good. You had saras, you cut it off. And now on the day of your chasna, You now see a new tzaraas that lifted the ban of your old tzaraas. And now, as far as this tzaraas, so the Kohen now has a legitimate right to say to you, come back and see me in a week. However, Ella, I amar v'yitay tanan, sof kilo mitami labas raisa, hamitami v'kai mikamay samay. But if that's not the pshat in the Mishnah Negaim, if the Mishnah Negaim is teaching us that according to Rabbi Eliezer, you only become tahor from the first tzaraas, only when you become tahor from the second tzaraas, so now the Kohen looking at you says, look, I know you're chasless tonight, but remember that you had an old tzaraas, remember that you cut it off, and you're not going to be tar from the old tzaraas until you become tar from this tzaraas. I can no longer ignore it. I can't tell you to come back to me in a week, because right now you're in a state of tumah. You're in a state of tumah tzaraas. So now we're going to have to push off the wedding and basically say, look, until you get tar from this tzaraas, we're going to move on. Okay, by mina rav yirmiya mi rav zera. Okay, so the Gemara leaves off with lack of clarity on that Mishnah in Negaim. So what we left off now is we're not 100% sure what the pshat in Rabbi Eliezer is. We know Rabbi Eliezer says that if you cut off the tzaraas off your body, you're going to get a knas, a rabbinic penalty, and we know the knas is going to continue till when you get the next tzaraas. We're not 100% sure, the Gemara ends off unresolved, whether that's when you actually get the next tzaraas or you become cleansed from the next tzaraas. Okay, take it. One of the things we're going to have to leave for Eliyahu Navi. By Rav, I mean, Rav Yirmiya Rav Zera, Tzaron Ozen Bebechor Umeis, Ma'u Liknos Beno Acharav. Okay, next question. And this next question will take us through the next Mishnah. Look, we just learned that according to Rabbi Eliezer, there's a knas, and the knas is knas olamis. Knas is forever. Okay, and we're back to Bechor. Okay, we left the world of tzaraas. And so if you put a blemish on the animal, now you can no longer enjoy that animal. When I say you, I mean the Kohen, that's at least Rashi back in the Mishnah. Okay. Now, let's say you die. And all your property, all your entire assets go over to your next generation. And now your child inherits an animal. Does he inherit the knas as well? Right? In other words, let me put it these terms, and these are basically the terms the Gemara is going to put it in. So I can't, I get no points for creativity today. So is the knas on you, or is the knas on the animal? Okay? So the Gemara is asking exactly this question. Can you make a knas, or I'm sorry, does the knas continue for your son afterwards? Look, you have an Evek Kenani, okay? It's your property. I know we're talking about a human being, but Evek Kenani, right? Chattel, if you want to use an old English term. So that means that if you would like to, you could sell it. It certainly will go to your next generation after, next of kin, after your demise. Okay, it's your property. You can't sell an Evek Kenani to a non-Jew. Meaning it'll work, it'll be like any other kinyan, but the Chachamim really frowned on that. Why? It's very simple. Because as an Evek Kenani, he's obligated to mitzvos. And he has to do not all the mitzvos in the Torah, he doesn't have to put on tefillin, doesn't have to wear tzitzis, but all the negative prohibitions and all the non-time bound mitzvos, in fact, he's, in terms of mitzvos, he's like a woman. Okay. The big difference is he gets a milah. Fine. So, but he's an Evek Kenani. Sorry, I'm sure he didn't want to hear that. So he's Chayav Mitzvahs. And what are you going to do now? You're going to sell him to a non-Jew. The non-Jew is going to get his Evek Kenani, and the Evek Kenani is going to say to him, look, I'll work 6 days a week, but Shabbos. Shabbos, I can't work on Shabbos. And the non-Jew will look at him and say to him, are you kidding me? But, right, exactly. Where did you come from? So the Chachamim seriously frowned on the sale of an Evek Kenani to a non-Jew. And the Chachamim said, not only do we frown upon it, we're going to penalize. You sell your Evek Kenani to a non-Jew, we're going to require you two things. Number one, you're going to have to buy him back. And even if the non-Jew asks for serious money,
up to 100 times.
100 times or 10 times?
Crazy. Boy, that non-Jew really got a good deal.
He says 10 times? Okay. You got to buy him back, even if it means you're going to have to pay more money. And Wait for this one. After you buy him back, then you got to free him. Okay, now, you're right. Give him ishtar cheres, give him his letter of emancipation, and don't do that again. which I think, by the way, after the kanas, he'll understand. He'll get the message. Don't do that again. Okay, so now, the Mishnah discusses the following. Okay, what if this person sold his Zeva Kanani to a non-Jew, and then he dies? And now we go over to the next generation. We say to his son, look, you inherited your estate, but, you know, sometimes this happens. Not only do you have account receivables, but you have account payables. And the serious probate law. And now you're on the hook. You, just like dad had this obligation to buy back the slave even 10 times up to that amount and then freeing him. So I got bad news for you. As part of, you know, as part of your estate, so you got that as well. Now, truth be told, is that this is up for a debate and discussion, but right now the Gemara is just going to focus on one side of this debate. So the Gemara goes like this. But the Gemara says, but over there, I totally understand. Because the father's action of selling him to a non-Jew keeps coming up over and over again, in meaning every day that this Eved Kanani now is in under the possession, under the ownership of the non-Jew, he can't do mitzvos. Right? Every Shabbos, the non-Jew is looking at his Eved Kanani and saying to himself, are you kidding me? You're working today. Right? You're not a Jew. Right? And I guess even if you are, meaning you're my Eved. You're working today on Shabbos. So the effects of the sale of the father are going to continue. And so therefore we say to the son, look, you're on the hook. And you're still on the hook because the effects of the father's sale continue even to this day. But the Gemara says, basically, I understand that. But in the case of Bechor, the Gemara doesn't fill in the blank. Let me fill in the blank. But in the case of the Bechor, look, the father put a blemish on the Bechor. And I understand how you want to penalize the father. That part I get. But you don't have to then pass it on to the son. What's the son do wrong? And basically, I think what the Gemara is suggesting, although I'm not 100% sure, there's a lot of blank space over here to fill in, but I guess what the Gemara is suggesting is once it gets its own blemish under the ownership of the son, you're fine. Now, imtim salam kevan malachto ben moed, umes lo kansu ben acharav, or the Gemara says, let's talk about another rabbinic penalty. If you started a job before chol hamoed, like let's say, for example, you want to make wine, and you started the job before Chol HaMoed. And now comes Yontif, and obviously Yontif you're not going to work, but then comes Chol HaMoed. Now, if I don't finish the fermenting job of these grapes, it's going to spoil, it's going to go bad. So what do we say about Chol HaMoed? Davar HaAved, if it's going to result in a financial loss, so then you have a heter. But you can't plan to start work on Chol HaMoed. That's absolutely out of the question. And on top of that, the Chachamim said, you know what? If you start work during Chol HaMoed, if you start a project, a job on Chol HaMoed, so we're going to say to him after Chol HaMoed, you did wrong, and there's a penalty, and that penalty is, we're not going to let you complete the job. Now again, you know, I often wonder with these types of penalties, meaning he already started off by working on Chol HaMoed, is he really going to listen to the penalty? But the assumption is if you want to undo what you did, if you want to make good on what you did, you can't finish the job. In other words, you have to let it go bad even after Chol HaMoed. Okay. Now, what if this person planned the project to start on Chol HaMoed and then he dies? Are we going to penalize the son? And the answer is no. But the Gemara is basically going to say, but I understand that as well. Why aren't we going to penalize the son? Answer is, because he didn't start the job yet. So, umeis lo kansu b'no acharav, mishum dolo avda li'isura. So over there, I understand because nothing yet was done. So there's nothing to penalize the son over. But hachamai. But the Gemara now wants to know. So the Gemara is basically giving us two case studies in terms of whether or not we continue a penalty to the next generation. First of all, the case study of selling your Eved Kanani to a non-Jew. There is carryover to the next generation. And the case of starting a project on Chol HaMoed. Well, we're not going to transfer over both. But in both of those cases, I understand. And by the way, the conclusion is different. Meaning in the case of selling to a non-Jew, that goes to the next generation. That son is now going to have to buy back the Eved Kenani and emancipate him. In the case of Chol HaMoed, the son is not levied the penalty, but I understand both, says the Gemara. Now, Hachamai, what about this penalty over here? Dad put a blemish on an animal. Rabbi Eliezer says you cannot enjoy that animal forever. Who's that penalty going on? Dad who put the blemish on, or the actual animal itself? Hachamai li didei kansu rabbanu v'haleso dimala mamona kansu rabbanu v'haisei. Okay, good. Good articulation of the question. Amrei tenisua. So the response is, I think I have the answer. It's the Mishnah in Shavuos. We're all over the place today. We really are. But it's good, though, because even though we're all over the place, but the conceptually, it's all linked together. Sada shenikvatsa b'Shavuos. Kizarela motzei Shavuos. So, if all you did is just remove thorns off your field during the Shemitah year, if that's all you did, you shouldn't have done that, but you didn't do actually any land improvement. Okay, so the Chachamim didn't feel that that the penalty's in order over here. You didn't improve the land. But what if you did improve the land during the Shemitah year? And that's forbidden, that's prohibited. Nativa nidaira lotizara. You fertilize the land. Rashi over here describes nizdavla ayyadei agalos. Umasua shalzevel. You put a whole bunch of fertilizer on the land. Or nidairei Rashi ayyadei dir behemos. Or you lock up a whole bunch of animals in the yard and let them do their work, i.e. fertilize the land. Okay? So lotizara lamotzei shviyas. So for the next year, the Chachamim say to you, that's it. You're going to lose an ability to plant that next year. Because you improved the land during Shemitah, and that's no good. The Amar, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Naktinan, we have a tradition, Heitiva Umeis, Beno Zar'o. So, if, let's say, the person who actually worked the land, improved the land, what if he dies? What do we say to the next generation? You're okay. Well, okay, that's a different story. But right now, let's assume son did not help, so you're okay. Amali didide kansu rabbanan, librelo kansu rabbanan. So, what do you get from here? Lidide, for him, the knas, there's a rabbinic penalty, but not for his son. Now, Tosfos struggles a little bit with this comparison. In other words, essentially what we did is we compared a penalty that was levied against those who worked the land during the Shemitah year, and our issue over here, putting a blemish on an animal. Take a look at the Bob Tosfos on the page. Now, Tosfos does not sound like he's 100% sure, but just improvement of the land, meaning he's not planting on the land, it's just a little bit of improvement of the land. Rabbinically forbidden, says Tosfos, although I'm not sure, he doesn't sound convinced himself that that's a rabbinic prohibition, but Hechi Pashit Sorim Ozen Bechor Da Araisa. But Tosfos wants to know, look, in the case of land improvement, that's a rabbinic prohibition. So there, we're not going to extend it to his child. But putting a blemish on a Bechor, which is what we're talking about, that's the Masechta we're in right now. Putting a blemish on the Bechor, that's an Isser D'Oraisa. It's a biblical prohibition. So Tosfos wonders, can we differentiate? Don't you see a difference between violating a rabbinic Isser and not extending the penalty to a son versus what we're talking about over here, which is a violation of a biblical prohibition of not putting a blemish on an animal, on the Bechor, but rather only if the blemish happens organically? You don't see the difference between the two? The imnami daraisa kasha begin the pasha mine gabi evad lema shani hacham dechamir mishum demafkele mimitzvos. And in the case of the Eved also, the case of the Eved, right, we discussed this before, the continuing repercussions of selling the Eved to a non-Jew. Over here, no continuing repercussions, meaning dad put a blemish on the Bechor. Okay, so we're going to say dad's blemish is not a blemish. But then to extend it to the son, Tosfos says, look, the violation of Shemitah is not as, don't, my question assumed that it's a light Isser, right? It's maybe a Derabbanan. It's not true. Meaning, Tosos quotes the Gemara in Kiddushin, right? We were exiled from Israel because of our lax treatment of the mitzvah of Shvius. Shvius is very serious. And if you see that the Chachamim do not penalize the next generation for Shemitah, which even though what dad did was just a little fertilizer over the land. Okay. But if the Chachamim didn't penalize that, so then there's no reason also to penalize the blemish of the ear. So Tosu says it is a fair comparison that the Gemara makes. Amar Abai Naktinan. Timataros Ames. Now, one more of these types of cases where we're going to basically ask the question, if dad did a violation and there's a penalty on dad, does that extend to the next of kin? Let's say dad did the following. I go over to my good friend. Well, let's not use myself as an example because A, I'd be a mazik, and B, I'd have to die. But let's say Reuven goes over to Shimon, and Reuven takes Shimon's taharos, and he's metame. Takes a sheretz and touches it to Shimon's taharos. Okay. He damaged. You know, everyone know what that's called? Let's assume that he actually did it with his hands. It's nezek she'eno nikar. It's hezek she'eno nikar. Mishnah in Gittin, fifth parak of Gittin, discusses and describes how may ikar adin, according to the strict letter of the law, damages have to be actual damages, real damages. If all you created was halachic damages, according to the strict letter of the law, you're not liable. Okay? It may sound a little strange, but that's in fact the case. That damages mean that it has to be a real depreciation of value. In other words, I run into your car. That's damage. But if all I did is, your food has not physically changed. It has not undergone a physical change. Okay, now it's in a state of tumah, but that's a halachic change. It's not a physical change. So according to strict letter of the law, you're not liable for damages on that. The Chachamim said, okay, I understand that, but the person's a mazik. We're not going to let him walk away from that scot-free. So the Mishnah in Gittin says that the Chachamim levied a kanas, even though, according to the strict letter of the law, you're exempt, but we're going to assign liability to you, even though may ikar adin, you're exempt. Okay? And this is what's called, again, a kanas. It's a penalty. So let's say dad was metame, and then dad dies. Is there a carryover to the child? So that's our last thing we're going to deal with. Lo kansu b'no achara, my time hezek cheno nikol lo shmei hezek kanas de rabbanon l'di de kansu rabbanon lebrei lo kansu rabbanon. Same exact conclusion. The kanas only goes on the father. The kanas is not on the damage itself, and so therefore the liability does not roll over to the next generation. And so right, the attorney does not have to say to the son, "You're going to be on the hook for that."
That one goes to the son, but to the son to the extent of what he inherited in terms of money and so on from the father, or beyond that? I mean, like, he has to pay out his own also?
I mean, ask me, my best guess is beyond that. Meaning, even if buying back of the slave is going to exhaust his entire estate.
And plus.
Yeah. I, that's my best guess. Maisa b'zachar shavachalim zakeim v'sa.
Responsible for his father's action, no matter what. I mean, not because of the...
Right? In other words, correct. But in that case, but the Gemara limits it, really localizes it to that case because of the repercussions that are just keep manifesting again and again with this Eved Kanani can no longer be a Shomer Mitzvos.
And that's
a rabbinic penalty, but one that's going to extend even to the next generation. And all the other cases, meaning in the case of Shvius, in the case of being Mitame, in the case of Bechor, the penalty is not extended to the next generation.
Right.
Okay. Ma'isa b'zachar shavachalim zaken usa'aro meduldal. There was this ram. It was just old. And the hair was going all the way down. Ve'u kastor echad. And along comes a Roman general, nobleman. Roman. Ve'amar ma tivo shozeh. And what a curiosity. Like, he's looking at the Jews. Aside from the fact that you Jews are a little bit strange, why do you have this ram with hair going flowing down? What's wrong with you people? So Amar lo, So what was explained to the Raman was Bechorhu ve'enu nishchad ela im ken haya balmom. Well, it's a Bechor, and you can't do anything until it gets a blemish. You cannot check it until it gets a blemish. So natal pigum vitzarm azno. So the Roman, you know, he gets the hint. I know it's going to sound a lot like, you know, Amir la'akam on Shabbos.
Right.
So the Gemara is not going to make that connection, but maybe later on we'll make it. So what the Roman does is he puts a blemish on the animal. Uva maisa lifnei chachamim vihitiru. And the matter came in front of the chacham, and the chachamim said, check, we're good. So now the Roman really got the message. The Roman's like, oh, look at that. And now the Roman goes and he puts blemishes on other becharos. And the Chachamim said, nuh-uh. Because now he knows. He's informed now. He knows. He understands what he's doing. Again, the blemish has to come organically. If the Roman was not asked to do it and he did it on his own, that's considered natural. That's considered organic. But once he knows what he's doing, that's okay, that's no. Let's do another case. So the children were playing out in the field, and you know how children can be destructive. So they were bored, so what did they do for fun? So they tied tails of sheep one to another, and as the sheep ran away from one another, obviously one of the tails is gonna get torn off. And it turns out, and again, the kids were just playing. I know, you're looking at me like this is strange, right? And the Chachamim said, oh, you know what? One of those animals was a Bechor, and the tail ripped off. Blemish, mom, good. I understand. I'm not encouraging. I'm not condoning, but it's a blemished animal now. And the story concludes the same, where the children got it. Oh, if you tear a tail off of a Bechor, now you're allowed to eat it, and now they understood, now they were informed.
So then the Chachamim said,
and it's very simple, says the Mishnah, that if they know what they're doing, and there's both cases, a non-Jewish Roman, or the kids, once they know what they're doing, so that's considered the placement of a blemish on a Bechor, that's no good. If they didn't understand the consequence of their action, that's considered natural, it's considered organic, and therefore it's no good. Okay. Pause over here. Tomorrow, pick it up. Discussion of why we need both cases. Basically, it's the same idea. Okay? And tomorrow, we'll look to catch up.